Let's turn to the Bible, if you will, as we continue in Romans chapter 12 in our study. Romans chapter 12, and we'll just be taking one verse today. Romans chapter 12, and verse number 14. Let's read there, okay? Just one verse. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 14. 1, 2, begin. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, teach us even through this short verse. The Lord, help us to understand the context, your heart, and as believers in Christ, how does this verse relate to me? And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the children. Even Lord, you have taught us not to hinder anyone who would come to you. That Father, we will not do anything to prevent any young ones to come to Christ. I pray, Father, that all the little ones come to our church will understand sin by the grace of God and love that overcomes that sin when they put their faith in Christ. I pray every child that will go through our Sunday school, Lord, will come out strong in Christ. Pray for the teachers. Thank you, Lord, for their dedication to teaching the children. Many times taking off their precious time to study the word, to pray for the children and also to teach. I pray that you would fill them constantly with the Holy Spirit, that the teaching of the word will be empowered. And Father, most of all, as they pour out their lives, that these younger lives, Lord, will grow up in Christ, strong in this sinful world, Lord, that they might be righteous lights. We'll thank you for what you're going to bless us, even as we honor you. As we take care of the children, I pray that you help us. Well, thank you as we hear your word. Speak to us in a special way. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, we talked about trials. Okay, we talked about trials and going through our trials. Going through trials. There are four things we talked about. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, in verse 13, that we need to be rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, and distributing to the necessity of saints, serving one another. Going through trials, 75% is constantly rejoicing in the hope we have, enduring in the tribulation, and continuing in prayer, where we access God's resources. And then 25% is to reach out. Okay, that's part and parcel of God's way of teaching the Roman Christians who were going to face the onslaught of the Neronian persecution in about AD 60 onwards. They're going to come, okay? And Paul was teaching them the word of God with regards how you need to face trials. Today, he's going to tell them another trial that they're going to face is not just about the normal trials of life. They're going to face how do you respond when you're persecuted for your faith or opposed for your faith. You know, as I was studying this, in Singapore, you generally do not face persecution for your faith. Amen? It may come. Okay? Some people may call the police on you. Okay? Generally, in Singapore, what we face is opposition to our faith. People who don't stand with you. People who will maybe scold you, may say things about you. When you talk about persecution, which the early church faced constantly, we're talking about being imprisoned. We're talking about being whipped. We're talking about being taken away from your families. We're talking about being severely beaten for your faith. All right? That's persecution. Enough, I've seen young teenagers say, oh, I've been persecuted for my faith. And they're crying, and it's all because someone said, hey, I don't agree with you. That's not persecution, that's opposition. And we do face opposition. But how does it relate to us? After this, I will touch on that. The Bible tells us, in this verse that we're going to touch about, bless them which persecute you. Okay, for us, it's more opposition. There are two types of trials. One is actually the trials that come to our lives. This type of trials, being persecuted, is another type of trial. And the Lord Jesus Christ have already touched on that. Remember where he touched on this? Matthew chapter 5. Bless them which persecute you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Remember in the Beatitudes, Jesus has already taught this. So Paul was just reminding them what Jesus taught. The word bless, all right, means to wish the person well and hope the best for them. Okay, the word curse means to wish the worst on them and hope the bad things happen to them. Some of you may have heard people, when they're angry with someone, they will say, go to the lake of fire. Okay, I wouldn't want to say that word. Or go. We have funny phrases to. You curse that person, all right? So Paul is actually thinking, when people persecute you, basically when people take your dad away from your family, when people hit you because you trust Christ, when you preach Christ, Paul actually teaches the Roman Christians to actually wish the best for them. Do you know that humanly we can't do that? Humanly we can't do that. When we were proposed for our faith from non-believers, specifically the truth is that being opposed and persecuted for Christ only happens to one group of believers. I think it is actually true to say that most of us will never suffer opposition or persecution for our faith. I'm not saying there's none, but I'm saying that generally in Singapore, we generally will not suffer persecution, but you know we can be opposed for our faith, which we will talk about, okay? A few verses that teaches us who are these people who will actually be opposed for your faith, okay? The Bible teaches in Matthew chapter 5, you have that there, verse 10 to 11. In the Beatitudes, Jesus has already talked about it. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. The key is for my sake. For my sake. The Bible also says in 1 Peter, you can turn there, we'll go through that. The people who are opposed, or rather the people, who are the people, who are this group of Christians that are opposed for their faith when they are persecuted? In 1 Peter 2, verse 20, verse 21, for what glory is it when ye are buffeted for your faults? Ye take it patiently. In other words, when you suffer because you did something wrong. But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take patiently, this is acceptable with God. Okay? So Christians who are the Christians who are persecuted for the faith, according to the scripture, the truth is when we live godly in Christ Jesus, then we will get opposed for our faith. The Bible is very clear, okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, yea, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This verse is primarily targeted to those who want to live godly in Christ Jesus. The only group of Christians, the truth in the Bible is when we live godly in Christ Jesus, you will go through opposition, you will go through persecution. When you choose to live by the words of this book, let's be godly. Because in these are the words of God. This is called the word of God. When you live through the Holy Spirit's help, whatever is shown here, you will find that you will gain opposition. Okay? Now, when will people oppose Christians is a question we need to ask. But, Brother Johnny, I understand this, that I'm a Christian, I go to church and all that. What does it mean? When will people oppose Christians? And maybe we can use that as an indicator of our lives. There's a few. When will people oppose us as Christians? Number one, when we live righteously for Christ. When we live righteously for Christ. I'll give you two examples. Number one was Daniel. Daniel was a man who stood for what is right. And when the king said, the king was deceived by his people, but the king signed and said, you are to pray to no one else except the king for 1 month. Daniel chapter 6. What did Daniel do? Daniel said, no, I will still pray to my God. I'm not going to bow to any idols. Daniel was being persecuted. Okay? He was being persecuted for his faith. And Daniel was thrown to lion's den. He was thrown into the lion's den. And it wasn't because Daniel, this is important for us in Singapore, because sometimes we are actually being mocked because we didn't do our work well. Daniel was a good worker. In fact, he was the best. That was why there were three presidents, Daniel and two others, and these two others was under Daniel, okay? And these people were very jealous of Daniel, and they wanted to deal with Daniel. But the only way, only reason these two can deal with Daniel is only his Christian life, nothing else. Because the Bible says he was more excellent than anyone. In everything that he does, Daniel seems to have a perfect record. He did everything well. Christians, we need to have both attitude and in our work and a testimony that the only thing people can accuse of is your faith. Okay? Even in attitude, sometimes as Christians, we need to watch that, all right? The anger attitude and all that, and the way we speak, we need to be very careful. We need to have a testimony before God and men, okay? It's important to have a testimony before God, but how we influence men is to have a testimony before men. That's what the Bible teach. Daniel had that, okay? And he was persecuted, literally thrown into the lion's den, okay? I don't think any of your companies below the basement, there is a place for the lion. I hope not, okay? The SPCA will come after you in Singapore, but you don't have that, okay? But you may be persecuted in other ways. If you say, boss, I cannot do this, that's lying, the boss may sack you. Are you willing to allow that to happen? Or the boss say, well, you need to twist this a bit. You say, no, boss, that's not right, that's lying. Are you willing to sacrifice your bonus for that? And that is something we need to think about, because it will happen. When we live righteously for Christ, we will be opposed. Okay, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, having your conversation or your behavior honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall see. Good works that we shall see. Glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, I cannot see, if I'm a unbeliever, I cannot see your faith, but I can see your works. I can see what you do. And Peter is teaching the Jewish Christians, you guys are going to go through persecution. Don't give anyone any reason to accuse you wrongly. Okay? And by the way, if people want to accuse you wrongly, they will find any reason. But if we live our life wrongly, they have every reason to accuse us. But if we live our life righteously, and the only reason they can accuse us is our faith. I may say, ah, yeah, these Christians good for nothing. Well, don't listen to them, you know. But they cannot accuse your life. All right? You will be opposed when you live your life righteously before God, number one. Number two, you will be opposed when you confront sin. When you confront sin. Remember John the Baptist, poor guy? He told King Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. What happened to him? He was thrown in prison and later on, head cut off. That is the kind of price you pay for living righteously. But when you confront sin, and John the Baptist didn't confront sin in his friend, you know, he confronts sin in his king. And he was fearless. Why? He feared God more than the king. Amen? He feared God more. And so when you confront sin, people will oppose you. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 14, verse 3 and 4, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John had said, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Let's turn to John chapter 15, verse 21. When Jesus himself said, when you confront sin, John 15, verse 21, the Lord Jesus, in his final message to his disciples, said this, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had come and spoken unto them, they had no sin. If I had not come, and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for sin. What does that mean? The Lord Jesus Christ said, if I didn't come and tell them, they didn't know they were wrong. So actually, they are blameless. But now that I have confronted them, they have no covering for their sin. No one likes to be confronted about their own sin. No one likes that. And the reason why people oppose a believer who confronts sin is because they do not know Christ. Interesting. So when you point out as a believer in Christ who is humble, but you want to help someone and you confront sin, you need to be ready to be opposed. Because if that person don't know Christ, He will oppose you. That's what the Bible says, okay? The next reason why people will oppose us is because when we preach Christ, in Acts chapter 4, verse 2, this is the third time, but you know, Acts chapter 4, verse 2, the Pharisees opposed the apostles. Why? Being grieved that they taught the people and preached Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Stephen as well. Remember Stephen in Acts chapter 7, after he became a deacon, and then he preached Christ, and he was arrested, and he had this whole chapter whereby he just expounded the whole Jewish history and say, you are the ones who crucified Christ and you need to turn from your sin. You know what? What did the people do when they actually heard Stephen preach? You know what they did firstly? They jammed their ears. You know why? I have seen two times when the word of God is being preached, Christians who call themselves Christians, they didn't want to hear it. Today, that particular person is no longer living for Christ. She's out in the world. She doesn't claim to believe Christ at all. Well, that's sad. But when you preach Christ, if you do not have a heart for Christ, you do not want to listen. I have had people walk out of services. That's okay. That's okay. They don't have anything against me. They have something against the King of Heaven. But you know, the King of Heaven still loves them. So it's important here, when we preach Christ, the Pharisees were grieved. When Stephen preached Christ, the people killed him, stoned him to death. And Stephen's attitude was what? Consistent with bless them that persecute you. What did Stephen say? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And I believe in the scriptures, God teaches how to actually deal with this. All right? Another reason why you will be persecuted is when you are actively serving the Lord to advance His kingdom. When you are actively wanting to move God's kingdom forward, you will be opposed. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 18, let me just read, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. If you're of the world will love you. If you live like the world will love you. That's what Jesus said. But because ye are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. When you stand on the truth of God's word, Christians, you must be prepared not to be loved. Is that okay? Some people is not. Some people say, no, I need to reach out to the world and I need to be with them. God says, if you love the world, what are the things? You see, Jesus was in the world, but he was never of the world. He was always influencing someone to bring them into the kingdom of God. That was why he was out there. And that's important for us to understand. Because some Christians want to be accepted everywhere. Do you know you can't? You can't. If you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to take a stand. And you know, it's so hard sometimes. But you know what? If you truly stand for the Lord, you might end up being alone. Paul was alone in the prison. Stephen was alone defending the faith by himself. He was stoned. The Lord Jesus Christ died because he loved righteousness. You know, sometimes when we stand for the right things, the world will hate us. There are some Christians who wants the world and wants Christ. It doesn't work. Very soon, I gave this illustration yesterday when I shared the youth. Let's pretend you're, in Chinese, 一脚踏两船, one leg you step on. So one leg in this boat, one leg in this boat, you know. The boat of Christ will go this way, the boat of the world will go this way. You know what happens after a while? Number one, your pants will split. Number two, you fall into the water. Because Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. There come a time, I've learned in my 35 years of a Christian, and it's a very hard lesson to learn. The Lord doesn't want half-heartedness. He wants 100%-ness. It's not this and this. is you can either serve God or you serve mammon. And you are to have no other gods before me. In Exodus chapter 20, you know, I was telling my children, we were going through that. You know how God started the Ten Commandments? I'm the Lord that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt. Ye shall have no other gods before me. And then I went on to explain. You know, it's just a simple phrase that God brought us out of Egypt, right? For the Israelites. You know what did God do? Number one, God prepared Moses for 40 years. Number two, God made Moses go into the wilderness to be trained for another 40 years. And then for the last 40 years, God brought Moses back to confront the most powerful man on earth. God was there. Let my people go. Pharaoh says, who is this God? I'm not going to let you go. Moses put the stick on the floor, turned into a snake. Of course, the magicians did that. Guess what? Moses' snake ate up the other snakes because God was more powerful. But it became hard. God then sent plague after plague after plague after plague. Guess who was involved in bringing the children of Israel? It was God. And the very last time, and God came, do you know that it wasn't the death angel? Some of you may have watched the Ten Commandments, you know, there's this green thing that come from heaven and say, oh, there's a death angel. It's not a death angel, it was God. The Bible says the Lord will go through Egypt that night. It was God who went in and killed the firstborn because they refused to trust in the Passover lamb. It was God that led the children of Israel, 2 million, in the wilderness to the shores of the Red Sea with the Pharaoh coming out. It was God who opened the Red Sea. It was God who brought the children of Israel 24 kilometers of the Red Sea, if you measure that. And did you know the Red Sea was 1 kilometer deep? Only God can do that. And then as the whole children of Israel moved across there, over their side, and then they looked back, God closed the sea so that Pharaoh's army was destroyed. And then Miriam brought it into the song, the horse and rider had God thrown into the sea. Guess what? Exodus 16, God, we've got no water. Started complaining. Guess what? God gave them water. God got no food. God gave them food. God got no meat. God gave them quails that ate until it came out from their noses. And then as the children of Israel kept going, God says, I want you to bring them to Mount Sinai. And there was a trembling in the mountain. And God spoke to Moses, I am the Lord that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods but me. Do you think God had the right to demand that after all that he's done for us? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. When you're actively serving the Lord to advance his kingdom, there needs to be a decision that you make. Whose side are you on? Many of us are Christians for many years. The question we need to ask ourselves is, whose side are we on? Because the verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 14, may not have much meaning for a Christian who will not live godly in Christ Jesus and choose him as your Lord. Now, I know some of us may say, oh, Brother Johnny, that's really hard. Yes, it is. But you know what? The more you know Christ, the more you love him. The more you love him, the more you'll be on his side. You know, it's very hard for you to tempt me because my wife is my first priority. I've already given my heart. Clearly, I've decided I'm on her side. Yeah, I falter a bit. I did mention yesterday, you know, sometimes we try to be consistent, but we are inconsistent. But you know what you can actually be 100% sure that you have made your decision to stay on Christ's side. And then your life that comes out, you may stumble and fall as a Christian, but you know every time you say, no, I've already made my 100% commitment to Christ, I'm coming back. Does that make sense? We may not be fully 100% consistent as a Christian, but you can be 100% dedicated to God. Amen? You can be. The people in the Bible always had that. All right? What did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we'll serve God. Okay? What did Peter say? When Jesus said, John 6, would you also go away? said, to whom shall we go, Lord? Thou have the words of eternal life. Now, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. It's a decision that we've got to make. We need to ask whose side we're on. 1 Kings chapter 18, when Elijah asked, why halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. What if Baal be God, serve him? You know what Elijah is saying? How long are you going to sit on the fence? If God is God, serve him. Can I tell you, God has every right to deserve our wholehearted affection because of everything that he's done for us. Would you agree with that? His love for us is so great. He did everything that we could never do to save ourselves. And he did it for us. In John 15, verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Did you know that if you truly have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, one of the key evidences is that you will increasingly dislike being or increasingly hate the things of this world. You can't love the things of this world and the things of God. They are diametrically opposed to one another. God is not going to compromise his stand. The world is not going to compromise his stand. Who needs to make the decision? Us. And so therefore, I believe God wants us to start thinking about these things. In John 15, 20, notice, remember the word I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Logical? If you see, that means we must be standing on the Lord's side. Agree? If I don't stand on the Lord's side, remember Peter, what did he do when he was being... Aren't you with Jesus also? What did he say? Oh, no. You must have been mistaken. 3 times Peter denied Christ. That's why he wasn't persecuted. You know what? At the end of that, I hope this is an encouragement for us. It's an encouragement for me because I don't 100% follow Christ all the time outwardly as my heart has decided to follow Christ, but I fail him. And so do you. You know what did Peter do after he denied Christ 3 times? The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. He cried, God, I'm sorry. You know why he cried? He has already given his heart to Christ. Oh, he's not perfect. He fell. I don't know any sin greater than rejecting the saying, I don't know Christ. But you know what? Because his heart is given to God, Jesus is still able to use him. It doesn't matter how you live your life in the sense of once you're given your heart to God, you may fall, you may slip. But if you're given your heart to God, God can still work with you. That's why in John chapter 21, Jesus called Peter back and asked him, do you love me? You know what? Those three, I don't know about you, but Peter must have the hardest time when Jesus looked him in the eye. Peter, do you love me? God, you know. You know what Jesus was doing? And you know what Peter was willing to allow Christ to do, confront him about his sin? When someone confronts us about our sin and we get angry, we don't know Christ. We must be willing to be confronted with sin. Okay? Now come back to this in John chapter 15. If they persecute Christ, they will also persecute us. When we are actively serving the Lord, people will oppose us. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, for a great door and effector is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. If any ministry that ambassador wants to embark on, there will be opposition. From outside and inside. But you know what we need to do? You don't have to be afraid. We need to be on our knees to pray. Because the one who leads us into battle is not us, it's God. And that's why we fast and pray. That's why we pray regularly. And we need to, you know, as church members, we need to see the seriousness of corporate prayer. The seriousness of corporate prayer. Which is what we touched on yesterday, I think. No, in youth, we talk about. You know how did the early church, stood against the Pharisees? Yeah, they were strong and bold, but you know what? After all that happened, they went back and they prayed together. And there was one interesting comment. If you're following the argument right now, do you know they did not pray for the church to be delivered from the Pharisees? You know, we oftentimes ask, God, please save us from all the problems we have. The early church did not pray that. You know what they prayed? God, give us more boldness that we may declare the name of Christ. Think about that. You know that kind of prayer I've learned. I'm not saying there are certain situations, yes, we do need to pray for God to protect us, and He will in His time, in His way. But I believe God wants us to have a heart for Him so much that even in the face of opposition, we pray, God, give us boldness that we might preach. And I believe the disciples had two things in their mind. Number one, their loyalty to Christ. Number two, their dedication to the Great Commission. That God, do or die, we will do your work. And the Bible said, and they prayed, Acts chapter 4, 31, the place was shaken, everyone was filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. We need that. We need that. We need that. So as we close, what attitudes should we have to those who oppose us? Two attitudes. It's actually very simple. Number one, the Bible says we need to bless them. Did you know that you cannot bless someone who opposes you unless you love that person? Think about that. What? You want me to love someone who wants to kill me? Yes. Oh, Brother Johnny, that's illogical. I know. But then I have to ask you, is your life of this earth, or is the life that God has given you from above? If your life is from above, you will be able to love your enemies. Because you have understood the unconditional love of God. Which was why Jesus was actually able to pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know about you, after being crucified by Roman soldiers, and by the way, when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, he was referring to the Roman soldiers, because these guys don't know what they are doing. And true, they don't know. They're just Roman soldiers doing their job. They don't know. But applying on a bigger sense, many times when we crucify our Savior by our unbelief, by our sin, you know, the Lord Jesus still have patience with us and say, Father, forgive them. His heart was a heart of forgiveness for people who do wrong, which was why Jesus is able to tell all his disciples, love your enemies. He showed us his example when he was at the cross. Can you imagine when he was whipped by the Roman soldiers? Father, forgive them. When he had the crown of thorns jammed, Father, forgive them. You cannot bless someone whom you don't love. But if the love of God is in our hearts, we will be like Christ, loving everyone. Oh, Brother Johnny, that's so hard. That's why we need to grow in grace. It's a process. You know, till the day you die, you're never going to be perfect in love. Only God is. But you know what? We need to be growing, amen? We need to be growing. You know, to see Eliza growing from strength to strength, you see Emma, you see Eleanor growing, you know, those little ones that grow. And it's growth. But you know what? Growth is not going to come without stress. Agree? Okay? You need to face the conflict and God, with God, as God helps us to grow. Okay, number one, you need to bless them. Those people, when you share the gospel and they slam the door in your face, we need to say, Lord, I pray for this person that he will be saved before it's too late. Sometimes we go tracking and people will throw our tracks down to the floor. Sometimes they tore. You know, in my heart, I'm saying, God, please have mercy on this guy. You know, he doesn't know what he's doing. We have called that people will curse us about how can you say we're all going to hell and all that kind of thing. Well, that's the truth. But you know what? People will curse and they will say different things. You know what? What we need to do is to pray for them. And many of these people, we've been threatened with calls to the police. Police have called me before. It's okay. You know, I'd rather go to jail. I'd rather go to jail. And I told the members, you can go tracking, just give them my number, it's okay. Because in our family, we already decided, even if we have to go to jail, it's okay. You know why? Because when you're standing for Christ, you know, the Lord is going to be inside, and I know what to do. By God's grace, when I'm in prison, I say, can I have my Bible inside? Because it's speaking to the prisoners about Christ. Does that make sense? Because we need to be decidedly on Christ's side. Number one, we need to bless them. It's interesting, the Bible says, bless and curse not. It seems that Paul was trying to reinforce this. Bless them that curse you, but bless and curse not. Because the Romans were very proud people. The Romans were proud. I mean, they were the rulers of those days. And in their hearts, they say, I'm the ruler, I'm a Roman. And you know, to be a Roman citizen was a proud thing to be last time. And so Paul was pleading with them, look, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. It's as if he's reinforcing. And I believe God knows our human failings and God has to plead with us. Remember to bless, don't curse. Don't curse. That's not my will, don't curse them. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. This is consistent with Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. As I read this passage, one of them that actually had this was John, and I'm Johnny, so it reminds me of me. But in Luke chapter 9, verse 52, after as I read, you understand. Came to pass, verse 51, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So Jesus knew it was time, and he says, okay, it's time for me to go to Jerusalem to be crucified. He set his face steadfastly. He went. Verse 52. He sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered in the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not welcome him. They did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Now, the Samaritans hated the Jews. And these Samaritans say, hey, these guys are the Jews. We're not going to let him in. We don't welcome him because his face is like a Jew. All right, and then in verse 54, and when his disciples said, James and John said, Lord, would thou that we command fire to come down and let destroy these people, God? They hate you, God. You know, sometimes we want to fight with God. These people are so, they need to be punished, you know. Many years ago, as a young believer, that was what happened. I was going tracking someone who was older than me. There was this guy who says he doesn't want the track. And one of the tracking people actually got angry with the guy. He said, you don't have to do this. And the tracking lady got to pull him away. All that kind of thing, you know, because it was cursing the person and all that. That was what James and John were doing. You know what Jesus said? Ye know not what manner of spirit are ye. For Son of Man came not to destroy man's life, but to save them. And Lord, without thou, verse 54, would thou that we command fire to come down from heaven? But he returned and rebuked them. Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are. The next time when someone opposes us, when we share the gospel, and remember this is in context, in context of we sharing the gospel to non-believers. Context to non-believers. Because non-believers will not understand your message and they may do things against you. That's when we need to show this unconditional love. You know, sometimes Christians may oppose us as well. And that's when we need to be firm where we stand and say, if you are on the Lord's side, then stay with me. Okay? And we need to be clearly teasing that through. But here, we are to not curse, but bless them. Jesus' spirit was this. And someone opposed me. Don't fight them. They don't know what they're doing. That's why you need to bless them and to show by your love. Which was why, do you know how the Apostle Paul, how Saul became the Apostle Paul? By the way, Saul and Paul, he didn't change his name. Okay? Saul and Paul, they are actually just a Roman counterpart and the Hebrew counterpart. Saul, Paul, they're the same. Okay, it's just that he was a Saul when he was a Roman, he's not saved. And after he got saved, he was a Jewish evangelist right now. That's why he used his Paul. Okay, so it's not that he changed his name. So there's a bit of Bible knowledge for you. But you know, Paul, whenever he went, he would plead with the non-believers to be saved, but he would get angry at Christians who oppose his work. But here we are taught not to curse, but to bless. So the next time we share the gospel with someone, we can expect them not to understand. But we need to be prayerful that God will help them to understand. I have just to finish off this, and then I'll give you one more slide. You know, just because someone opposed you one time doesn't mean God cannot reach that person. I've had people who became Christian after a whole year of listening to the gospel. My mom was one of them. My mom just came to be with the grandchildren. But you know what? The word of God will not return unto us void. Amen. And 1 year later, my mom opened her heart to receiving Christ. And it is said that some people don't receive Christ the first time. But you know, the Holy Spirit needs to help them understand things as well. So when you reach someone for Christ, it's not about just what you do. It's what you do behind the scenes in prayer. Whether you're concerned in pleading for God to work in this life. Every time we share the gospel with someone, it is a spiritual warfare. You go into spiritual war because you are trying to snatch someone out of hell. Parents, that includes our children. Because our children is born with a sinful nature. We absolutely need to reach them by standing clearly on God's side. You know, sometimes parents can get heartbroken because children don't walk with God. Isn't that true? Parents, if you really love God and standing on this side, your heart will be heartbroken if your children don't want to walk with God. And that's why we need God's help. We're not here to judge anyone. Church is a hospital for sinners, amen? And we need to continuously have that heart and love for these people. And the Lord teaches us, therefore, not to curse them, but to bless them. In other words, you do everything you can to show the love of Jesus Christ. Okay? Just one more passage, these two verses. You know, as I study the whole thing, I'm going to finish. It's not right for me to finish off by not telling you that God says, blessed are those who endure temptation. There are two types of temptation listed here, number one, in James chapter 1, talking about the trials of life. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Notice the motivation for enduring temptation is not just you want to tahan. It's because you love Christ. You want him to be honored in everything that you do. And even though you may go through the highest, just like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, all these people, you know what? If the lion's den, they were still praying. They didn't say, you know, see, I'm just going to stand everything. But no, it's because they love Jesus. And thank God we're going to see Daniel in heaven. And maybe you want to ask him that when you see him, how were the cats? Were the lions very big or whatever, you know? But the second passage, first one is about trials, but second one is about persecution. The Bible just says, fear none of those things that thou shalt suffer. You know, it may come a time in Singapore that we may, you know, in China it's happening, every church in China must be registered with the central government. Every church. And they're going everywhere, especially in China. Interestingly, this morning I was just talking to a Christian. Apparently he's a pastor, he's from another church. He's been going to China. He's saying that in China, they're targeting very rich Christians in the Shanghai region, and they're tearing down crosses, tearing down churches. And in order for you to preach, you must have a license from the government, especially in the central part. It's a hard time for Christians there. Apparently, the national pastors are writing a strong petition to the communist government. You have no right to interfere in religious affairs. Writing to the communist government. You think they're going to listen? We don't know. But you know, some Christians, I believe they're genuine Christians who love the Lord and just want to worship God freely. But you know, God actually tells them, don't be afraid, because you will have tribulation 10 days. The word 10 days there could be literally 10 days or a period of time. But after that, God says, I'll give you a crown of life. Notice that enduring trials in life and being persecuted, you all end up with having the same crown, the crown of life. And that will be given to us at the judgment seat. So as we close, my question is, are you living for Christ? Otherwise, the verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 14, will have very little meaning for us. Can I challenge you? I'm not saying go out and make trouble with everyone, okay? Please, all right, and make it very clear. Don't go out and see you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, you're not, so therefore, don't go out. God is not going to be honored. Amen. For us to go out and aggressively and tell people wrong, that is not the spirit of Christ. We need to be like the meek and lowly Christ, who when something is wrong, who will confront it lovingly and being filled with the Holy Spirit, show that person what is the right way and how they need to get right. Fathers, we need to really ask Christ to fill us with His love and His Spirit as we teach our children. And sometimes our children really need a on the back, because it helps them to get right with God. And we need to be very careful, all right? The rod of anger will fail, but we'll talk about it other times, okay? And I pray that we will bless those who oppose us. And if there's someone in your life right now that you're trying to reach and they're opposing, you know, the hardest people to reach is your own parents. But you know what? You need to show them the love of Christ. And no matter how, you know, it's very hard to fight against love. It's very hard to fight against love. All of us came to Christ because of His love. And Christ wants us to share His love as well. Right, let's say a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time. I pray You help us all to be clearly on Your side. Clearly on Your side. That we might endure the temptations. We might be willing to go through the things that we need to go through, Lord, for Your honor and glory. As we just close, I pray, Father, that You will guide us. We're not loving this world. You will guide us in loving You more. And Father, we're not asking for trouble. We're not asking for trials. But Heavenly Father, if it really means we've got to go through it because we want to live for You, and we know the Bible teaches that, I ask You for grace and strength. On every brethren, Lord, who have decided in their heart they're going to live for Christ in a godly manner. With eyes closed, heads bowed, is there someone who said, Pastor, I understand this verse. There are certain areas God is speaking to me about that I need to live more godly. I don't want trouble, no one wants trouble. But what if living godly for Christ does mean trouble? Would you be willing? Is there someone who said, Pastor, pray for me. I just want to be faithful, to live a godly life, to honor Christ. Come what may, I will be faithful to Him. Is there someone like that? Amen. I see those hands. You put it up and put it down. I can pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. But you need to walk with God there. Okay, is there someone else? Amen. I see those hands. Amen. Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. You know, I can pray for you, but you need to make the decision to walk with God. Okay, if you need help, we will pray for you. Is there someone else? All right, Lord, thank You, especially for younger Christians who have seen the need to walk with You. I pray that they will be clearly on Your side. They will make a decision in their hearts, knowing the Word of God has been taught, that they will follow what You say. That, God, their lives will be changed and transformed. That, Father, they will be willing to walk with You. So, Lord, thank You for what You're going to do. Strengthen them. For everyone who put up their hands, Lord, it is an evidence of something that has happened in their heart. And only You can work with them. I pray You will strengthen them, help them to walk with You, help them to commit their lives to You, get rid of sin in their lives, and help them, Lord, to live godly in Christ Jesus. Lord, I know that persecution and opposition will come. But Father, I pray You help them to focus, help us to focus more on living godly. And give us the strength, Lord, to bear and endure, Lord, when the temptation comes. Thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do. I pray You bless the activities in the afternoon with the Crossroads Camp meeting. And Father, also for the discipleship in Matthew chapter 2, I pray You just teach us to know Your word for what it is. Thank You, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.